In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Saint Irenaeus of Lyon is an Orthodox Church father who is active in the 100s. This is just one generation after the passing of the apostles and those who walked with and talked with Christ himself. Saint Irenaeus was a bishop who led the church in what is today the southwest of France, and he was a powerful opponent of the great heresies and the false teachers of his time. Perhaps Saint Irenaeus's most famous quotation is this one: "The glory of God is a living human being. The glory of God is a living human being." God's most beloved achievement is the creation of the human being. And more fully, God's glory is his work to bring the human being into eternal joy through the saving work of Christ and his cross. For God, there is no higher achievement than you and I and our life together in Christ. If God can be proud, this is what he is proud of. The glory of God is a living human being. Let's turn this quotation by Saint Irenaeus upside down. If the glory of God is a living human being, then sin has an easy definition. If the glory of God is a living human being, then the strongest rejection of God is when we can no longer see the glory of God in a living human being. Sin is when I refuse to do so, when I refuse to see the glory of God in a living human being. This morning, the Lord is in Bethesda, and he meets a man who sits paralyzed on a pallet by the sheep's gate. This is a pool of healing in Bethesda. The angels there stir up the waters, and the stirred up waters, they bring healing. But for 38 years, the man has sat there. For 38 years, the paralytic has found no relief. No relief. And it's strange, but then Jesus asks him rather directly, "Do you want to be healed?" Kind of a strange question. And the man says, "Lord, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another steps down before me." The man has suffered there so close to what he needs because, as he says, "I have no man." For 38 years, priests and Levites and scribes and Pharisees and Herodians and Sadducees, all the political and religious elite in Jerusalem, for 38 years, the people of God have walked past the paralytic. His sickness has made him hidden. His status makes him invisible. Because he is not part of the majority, he is no longer a person to them. His suffering is acceptable. He is forgotten. To most, he is no longer a person. He is no longer, as Saint Irenaeus says, a living human being in their eyes. And so those who enjoy comfort and influence can no longer see the glory of God in this man on his pallet. The rich grow richer by robbing this person of human dignity. They allow him to sit there and suffer. It's the price that they are willing to pay for their own success and achievements. This is Bethesda. But this Bethesda is also a mirror. In Bethesda, we can see ourselves and we can see this whole planet. One example, chocolate. Americans love chocolate. There's a problem with chocolate. You can't make chocolate without cocoa, and nearly all the world's cocoa is raised in West Africa by farmers on the brink of poverty. And since 2001, long time, since 2001, the world has known that nearly all cocoa farms are powered by enslaved children. Without the forced labor of children in these conditions of extreme poverty, Americans could not have their chocolate. Some chocolate is now produced in a fair and sustainable way, but almost all of it is not. And if you knew that your candy bar or mochaccino was delivered to your store thanks to enslaved children and their forced labor, you might think people would say, "No thanks, I'll pass." But the opposite has happened. Chocolate consumption has continued to rise. Between 2009 and 2014, chocolate consumption in America alone increased 24%, reaching in 2014 $21 billion. And by 2019, this figure is expected to rise by the industry to $29 billion. Easter alone, over $2 billion worth spent on chocolate to celebrate the Lord's resurrection while children are abducted or sold to work the farms that make this possible. Child slavery and chocolate is just one example. It's one of many examples. The point is that we too are like the Pharisees and the priests and the Levites and the scribes and the Herodians and the Sadducees. We too are like the political and the religious elite in Jerusalem. We too walk past the paralytic, blind to his dignity as a human being, unable to see in him the glory of God. We too enjoy comfort and influence, and to say this, and then we go on to say that this is just the way things are. We can't help it. I want to share with you some research reported by Dr. Stephen Muse, M-U-S-E. Dr. Muse is a clinical psychologist and a major, major figure in pastoral care and family counseling. He is also a deacon in the Orthodox Church, thank God. This is fascinating. You might think that the richer a nation becomes, the more mindful it becomes of moral problems. Advanced nations are supposed to be more enlightened, right? That's the script that we're all trained to believe. Data suggests the opposite. Research in 70 countries shows that values group together in very surprising ways. Here's a quotation from the research reported by Dr. Stephen. "Those who strongly value financial success, for example, have less empathy, stronger manipulative tendencies, a stronger attraction to hierarchy and inequality, stronger prejudices towards strangers, and less concern about human rights and the environment. Those who have a strong sense of self-acceptance, on the other hand, have more empathy and a greater concern about human rights, social justice, and the environment. These values suppress each other. The stronger someone's extrinsic aspirations, the weaker his or her intrinsic goals." Science confirms the biblical protest. The data back up the claim that the more you reach for wealth outside yourself, the less able you become to see the glory of God in a living human being. This is true of persons, and this is true of nations. At the level of persons, we still walk past those like the Bethesda paralytic, unable to see the glory of God in them, and unwilling to help them to find those stirred up waters that are so close by for healing. And at the level of nations, we still want our cheap chocolate despite the dependence on child slavery. And again, not to pick on chocolate per se, it's one example of hundreds. The glory of God is a living human being, Scripture and science both suggest that first world nations have a real hard time with St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Too often we cannot see the glory of God in a living human being unless that human being is largely like us and in our tax bracket. Despite all of this, St. Irenaeus refuses to go away. His voice from the 100s remains a powerful voice for those who desire to follow the gospel witness of faith in Jesus Christ. The famous quotation from St. Irenaeus is really just the first part of a longer sentence. The full quotation from St. Irenaeus is this: "For the glory of God is a living human being, and the life of the human consists in beholding God." The life of the human consists in beholding God. At the end of the gospel reading this morning, the one who is healed once again beholds a vision of God. Finally healed, finally having found someone who sees in him the glory of God, the paralytic enters the temple, says St. John. Maybe it has also been 38 years since he was allowed to do that. But now finally, the man who is touched by Jesus is restored to the community. And there in the temple, once again, he beholds the vision of God, the very face of God. Scripture reports that he sees Jesus. And Jesus tells him that he is the one who has done this great thing for him. Beholding God in the temple, the paralytic once again lives life. He gets his life back. His physical healing couples with spiritual healing, and a living human being is once again birthed in the one robbed for so long by others of basic human dignity. This is our image of hope. We too are living human beings. In us is found the glory of God. And our life, just as St. Irenaeus says, our life consists in beholding God. And this morning, we do that. This morning, we behold God. And more than that, as we sing after communion, we behold the resurrection of Christ. And in beholding Christ, our life is returned to us, no matter how hard the week has been, no matter how many times we have fallen or have caused others to fall, no matter how many times we have robbed others of their human dignity, nor how many times we ourselves have been robbed. Maybe you have forgotten your name. Here at the chalice, Christ greets us by name. Maybe you have forgotten that God's glory is found in you. Maybe you have been passed by for 38 years, or maybe for a long time you have passed by others. But here this morning, Christ says to each and every one of us, do not sit outside the temple on your pallet, but rise and walk with your own two feet into the place where the kingdom now opens to you. Rise and behold God, for you are a living being, and God's glory burns in you like a white hot star. Our life consists in beholding God. And now that we behold God in this temple, we are empowered and emboldened to always see the glory of God in every living human being. At the end of the gospel, the man healed by Christ goes out and tells the world what great things Christ has done for him. He is not content to sit quietly in his pew. He now humbles himself, or rather, he rather himself goes out, and like those angels, he now stirs up the waters. The Bethesda paralytic becomes an angel of Bethesda. He disturbs the calmness of business as usual and proclaims that a Savior now dares to see the glory of God in every living human being, even the sick and the forgotten and the marginalized and the hated and the enslaved. Brothers and sisters, it is the Lord who heals. It is the Lord who saves. It is the Lord who restores. But the Lord needs his angels. He needs those who are willing to stir up the waters and bring hope to those who suffer. Stir up the waters of chocolate at whatever cost. Does something shock you? Does something break your heart? Is there news in the world that does that? Learn more about it. Get involved. Stir up the waters of the shrinking pond of me first and you later. This is a place where ultimately everyone dies alone, and ironically, everyone dies of thirst. Stir up the waters and invite someone to swim with you, not against you. Life is not about personal bests and world records. Our life consists in beholding God together and on the same team. Stir up the stagnant waters, breeding the stench of hatred and bigotry and human division. Stir up the polluted waters, too often piped to the poor. Dare to insist that all men are created equal really means something. Stir up the waters, and then get ready for the world to respond. St. Nicholas is no different from Bethesda. Stir up the waters, and the suffering will come. They will come looking for hope. And once the suffering arrive, the Lord is never far behind. Christ is jealous of his beloved. His glory resides in the living human being, especially in those who are now invisible to the wider world because they are different. If they enter our front doors, so too will Christ, eager to bring freedom and release and deliverance. Brothers and sisters, stir up the waters and behold God. Christ is risen.